Well, good morning. The countdown has finished, that must means it's time to start. So make your way in. Are we early? Are we early? The clock on the back says 10 o'clock. I don't have a watch. Close enough? Should I just keep talking until it's 10 o'clock? Does anyone know any good jokes? No? Okay, I don't. I know some jokes, but none of them are good. Only dad jokes, and they're only for my kids. Well, welcome to church. Good to see you all. Sorry that we have to keep doing this thing, but we still do. But we are grateful that we can meet and worship together. I know there's many millions of people in Sydney and Melbourne who don't have the opportunity of gathering and meeting. So we are thankful to God for that and feel very privileged that we can meet today, even though we do need to wear a mask. And it's great to be back in our worship centre rather than the mission centre, because the government has relaxed the conditions for how many people you can have in a room. So here we are. Welcome again. We are going to stand and read from Isaiah 43, a responsive reading. So I'll just wait for Gary to put that one up for us today. So would you like to stand now and join me as I read this? Oh, where it says leader, that's me. Everyone, that's you and me. That's everyone all together. But now, this is what the Lord says. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that everyone may know and believe me and understand that I am He. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am He. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have chosen us, that you have promised to be with us in good times and bad. In all circumstances, we know that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children, and that you have tasked us to witness that you are our God. As we continue to worship today, Lord, I pray that you will rise up in us a desire to share your love and share your name with all those around us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're serious, it's only me. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. Isn't it great to be here today?
Yes.
Today's reading, hang on, I've forgotten something. My eyes. Anyway, who won the football last night?
Not the Broncos.
Excuse me. Now I know where I am. Sorry about that, guys. Today's reading is from the NIV version, Luke 1, chapters 26 to 38. The heading is The Birth of Jesus Foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, who you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be named the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, a relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Thank you.
Good morning. Morning. I can take this off, thank heavens. I'm reading today from Luke 2, 6 to 20. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on the earth peace in those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all whom had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Thank you. What a great way to just lift the name of Jesus. Glory, honour, praise, adoration. The heavenly witness is what we're going to talk about today. The heavenly witness. Now, as Tim said, if you weren't here last week, we started a new series, and that's going to take us through the book of Luke. Can I get a witness? So last week we looked at Luke, who wrote this gospel, the investigative reporter. He wanted to find out from an eyewitness what was the story, how did people interact with Jesus, and write down what he could about these life-changing interactions. Are you ready for a quick quiz? Yes. Yes, you're ready for a quick quiz. This is to tell if you were listening last week, if you were here. Or maybe you probably, you might know some of it already. So if it's, this is true or false. If it's true, give me this, thumbs up. If you think it's false, all right, everybody put your hand up, ready? Ready to go. Right, fantastic. Luke was thought to be a doctor.
Amen.
True. I can see some people not participating. Are your hands broken? All right, second one. The gospel account that Luke wrote is the shortest of the four books. It's okay if you get it wrong. It's all right. That is false. It is the longest of the four books. Luke's account begins, hey, what are you doing? Oh, Tim's getting ready. He's like hedging his bets. Luke's account begins with the baptism of Jesus by his cousin John. Right, because we've already read the first passages in Luke, and it starts with the account of Jesus' birth. The Gospel of Luke is an orderly account written for Most Excellent Theophilus. Yeah, well done. Anyone get 4 out of 4? Your prize is you can have a tea or coffee and some bickies afterwards. So today's witness is our heavenly witness, the angels. The readings we had today are ones that we'd normally not have in July, are they? They're Christmas readings. But it is the 25th today. Did you realise that? 25th of July. So if you want to start a countdown, it's only 5 months till Christmas. Jessica Smythe, there you go. You can start your countdown today. So they're not normally readings that we would read in the middle of the year, but these readings are about a great celebration. That's worth celebrating every day of the year, isn't it? So I'm going to talk about this today. We're not going to have a big Christmas focus, but we are going to talk about this news. So Kevin and Glennis today read about two different times where an angel unexpectedly appeared. It's not the only time that we read of in the Bible where angels are mentioned. Angels are mentioned from Genesis right through to Revelation. There's lots of talk about angels in Revelation, and right through the Old and the New Testament. Now in the book of Luke, we see the word angelos, the Greek word, 25 times. So there's lots of talk of angels. And that word angelos means messenger, or most specifically in this context, a messenger from heaven, a divine messenger. So I want to look at the three times, actually. We've read about two times, but I want to look at three times in the beginning of Luke where the angels presented their witness. They carried a message. Their message was their witness. Their witness came from God in heaven and told about the coming of his son and the preparations that would be made for his coming. So in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. That's the first angel witness we're going to look at. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was
Mary.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around. Three messages, three occasions, three different witnesses who were recipients of this message, three responses. So for each of these stories, we're going to look at these three questions. What was the message? What were they bearing witness to? What was the response of the hearer? And what was the outcome of that message being delivered? Now, we didn't read about Zechariah earlier. Hopefully you're familiar with that story. His story is actually the first eyewitness account that's recorded in the book of Luke. And we know that Zechariah was a priest. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were good people. Luke writes that they were righteous in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. That's a pretty good rap for Zechariah and Elizabeth. But they were also childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And by this stage, they were both very old. They were ordinary people, but on this ordinary day, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving there as a priest before God, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, Zechariah was just doing his regular thing, his regular duties. He was rostered on as the priest to go into the process of performing some kind of familiar rituals there in the temple. When all of a sudden, there's an angel beside him. The message, what message did he bring for Zechariah? You and your wife, Elizabeth, are going to have a baby. Not just any baby either. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He'll be a joy and a delight, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He's going to prepare a way for the Lord. He will be a witness to the presence of God's son, Jesus. There was a lot there to take in. I haven't read all of the passage, but you can go and read it. This is where it's found, Luke 1, 11 to 17. That's a pretty serious witness there from Gabriel. It tells not only about the baby John, who's going to be born, but also all the amazing things that are going to happen as John turns the hearts of many towards God. We will come back and look at how Zechariah responded to that shortly. The second angel appearance is when the angel brings a heavenly message to Mary. The angel witnesses to Mary of God's favour. God's favour is upon you. This ordinary teenage girl was no doubt just going about her ordinary teenage life, a bit different to what teenage life would look like now, I'm sure. And Gabriel, the angel, says, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Can you just imagine Mary? Me? Are you talking to me? Have you got the right girl? I don't know. I think that would be pretty overwhelming for Mary. Then the message to Mary continues in verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign. His kingdom will never end. I can't imagine receiving news like that as a teenage girl. Like Zechariah, this message, this witness is about a baby, an unexpected baby. And like John, no ordinary baby. Like John, a baby for whom God had a special plan in place. Never another baby like this. The message about John was pretty incredible, but this baby, Jesus, is described even more amazing, isn't it? Great, the Son of the Most High, someone who will reign forever, whose kingdom will never end. Now, we know the truth about Jesus now, but for Mary, this is brand new stuff, impossible to comprehend, perhaps. Maybe if the angel had said to Mary, let me tell you about this baby who's going to do all these things. That's pretty amazing in itself. But the angel says, you, Mary, I'm delivering this message to you. You, unmarried, young, virgin, you're the one. So this baby I'm talking about, you're going to be the one who carries this baby, who gives birth to this baby, who raises this child. Mind-blowing, isn't it? The third message is this. The angels witness to the shepherds about the birth of the Son of God. And we read this in Luke 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Ordinary shepherds doing their ordinary thing. That's what shepherds do. They look after sheep. They sit on the fields and they look after sheep. And that's what they were doing when the angel appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around and they were what? They were amazed. They were terrified. They were afraid. So Zechariah, Mary, the shepherds, all of them, we read that they were afraid. They were frightened. Now, I don't know about you, if anyone has, but I have not seen an angel appear to me in my ordinary kind of day. But the angel says, first up to all of them, don't be afraid. So it must have been pretty scary. You don't approach someone with a message and say, John, don't be afraid. Unless it's going to be something frightening. So obviously the angel was very fearful, or made them feel very fearful. So what was the angel's message to the shepherds? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. This is good news. It's great news. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Not only is he born, but there'll be a sign. You'll know it. You'll find a baby there wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The three messages, three expressions of a witness, three occasions, three different recipients, but all of them ordinary people in ordinary places on an ordinary day. Although I think the shepherds, that wasn't really an ordinary day when Jesus was born. But they're in the middle of the ordinary. But in that ordinary, God sends an extraordinary message, a message of great news, and a message that can bring about and did bring about great change, a witness to God's miraculous wonders. When God shows up, we can expect that he will turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. So that was a message. How did the people respond to this message? What was their response? Zechariah, besides being startled and gripped with fear, he asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Clearly it didn't make sense to Zechariah. It's not what he was expecting when he entered the temple. So he questioned the messenger. Mary also questioned the messenger, how can this be? And the angel gives her a longer response to that. In verse 35, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For assurance, I like this line, Gabriel adds this. He says, no word from God will ever fail. This is not a crazy dream, Mary. This is not something you're imagining. This is God's message for you. I am the witness to it. This is God's word and it will not fail. Mary's response is one of acceptance. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She receives the message. She does question it initially, doesn't she? How can this be? for she receives it. May your word be fulfilled. How blessed we are when we take hold of something that's given to us, when we receive a blessing or we're told something and we actually take hold of it and receive it. When God brings us a message, it's a challenge for all of us to receive that, isn't it? We're witnesses to something that is of God. Let's receive it. Maybe question it. We'll get back to that. But let's do as the shepherds did. When they heard the message, they received it with great joy. They couldn't hold it in. Their response was to act. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I wonder what your response is to God's message. We may question the message we hear. In fact, it's a good thing to question, to ponder, to think about. God, what is it that you're telling me today? To sit with that and to reflect and pray. Maybe you're someone that journals or writes down things or thinks about your thoughts deeply. At Lift on Tuesday, we had a mini retreat. We took some passages, we took some thoughts. We went out and sat in the deck or down in the chapel and we thought, we questioned it and we thought about it. But then, let's receive it. Let's receive what God has. Perhaps the difference between Zechariah and Mary is that Zechariah said, well, there's a bit of doubt there. No, that's not right. Maybe his "how can this be" was, "I think you've got it wrong." And Mary's perhaps was more of, "I don't really understand it, but in receiving it," she said, "may this happen. Let it be as you say." And thirdly, the shepherds, like them, let's act on it. Let's share our eyewitness report. So the third part to that question, what was the outcome? What happened? What happened next? When Zechariah questioned the messenger, he became mute. He was in the temple for a long time. People wondered what had happened to him. They were sitting outside thinking, what's going on with Zechariah? But he finished off his duties, he returned home, and he waited on God's messenger. He waited for that message. For many months that followed, Zechariah could not speak. But in the end, his obedience and his patience, his waiting upon God, is rewarded when his baby son, John, is presented at the temple. From verse 62, they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." That was just as the angel had said, "You should name him John." Immediately, we read in verse 62, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And here's where the witness goes to the next level. He praised God. He was filled with awe. All the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people started talking about all these things. The outcome was God was praised. Everyone was filled with awe. They spread the news. When Mary had obviously taken some time to sit aside and let the message sink in, she praised God. This section that follows there from where we read before is the Magnificat. It's Mary's response to that message. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, Mary. He's thought about me, and from now on all generations will call me blessed." So Mary glorified the Lord. She praised him. And the shepherds, they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. There was this flow-on effect. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. The news that they had could not be contained. They witnessed to what they had seen. They witnessed to the glory of God. So I wonder what message we hear from God in our day-to-day ordinary. What's the message that we receive? What are we told? What are we blessed with? And I wonder how we respond. I wonder what the what happens next looks like for us. What's the outcome? Some of the words from our passage today are up here. I don't know if you can read them or if one stands out to you. Excellent, praiseworthy, favour. God's favour was upon Mary. Maybe there's something that really does stand out in that list. I want each of us to consider, if we receive a message from God, if we hear something, if you receive a message today, if something's said to you through the week or someone speaks a word over you, how do you respond to that? What is our witness? Will we glorify God for what he's doing? Do we praise his name? Do we tell how things have been fulfilled in our lives? Do we speak about the extraordinary way that the Holy Spirit has touched us? There's lots of responses we could have. Don't want to have that one where we're just fearful, we hold it in. We want to share that message. We want to be a witness. I started out earlier with a mention of Christmas. And I'm going to invite the musicians to come up. We're going to sing the words to a refrain from a very familiar Christmas carol, O Come All You Faithful. We're going to sing these words, O come, let us adore him. We want to adore God. We want to give praise. When the shepherds saw that, they praised God. They were so excited. Zechariah, he praised God. He wanted to spread the news. Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing this verse together, this chorus. Oh, come, let us adore him. And today, maybe you'd like to adore God in that posture where you want to praise God. Maybe you'd like to kneel. You can stay seated, you can stand. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing this together. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Let's sing that. To God, because he is our Christ, he's our Lord. So those are the next words we're going to sing. Just reflect on that as we sing together these next words. We give you all the glory, Christ the Lord. Why do we give you all the glory? Why do we adore him? Why do we do that? For he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of our praise, of our glory, of our adoration. So we'll sing these words together. For you alone are worthy. Let's sing those. Your voices, pray a prayer. We adore you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise your name.
We worship you. We honor and adore you.
I love you, Lord, because it hadn't been through you, I wouldn't have got through my illness.
Amen.
But then the surgery happened, and you pulled me through, O Lord.
Mm, we praise you, Lord. We praise your name.
We magnify you, Jesus.
We glorify you, Lord.
Lord, today, let us remember, take with us. We have the opportunity to be your witness. Lord, let us be faithful servants. Let us praise you, adore you, witness to your love for us. And Lord, let us not stay silent. We pray these things and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 4 from the Amplified Bible. Verses 6 and 7. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with your thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And the God of peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 Coffee time.